Click. DPS.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
PUS.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Booster.
Go.
Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast. Chris Jordan here, coming at you from Austin, Texas, here in the home studio, as, of course, nobody's on the road due to the Rona. Welcome to today's show. We will be talking today with Travius Lawson, owner, head producer at alwayspressrecord.com, or I'm sorry, alwayspressrecordproductions.com, as well as APRTV. We will be talking to him about the world of the producer, what it is to literally produce content for other people and kind of help guide them to what they are looking for. And I spent some time doing that in my career. I still spend time doing that in the world of podcasting. So it's been interesting over the time of COVID. We will be getting into some of the challenges that have existed during that and some of the ways forward, moving forward. So we'll be getting into all of that and so much more right after these messages. Please do remember that our show is brought to you by True Hemp Science. If you're a fan of CBD products like I am, True Hemp Science is the place for you. TrueHempScience.com is the website. They are experts in CBD and makers of some of the finest full-spectrum CBD product out there, as well as CBG flower. They make fantastic edibles, all kinds of stuff. I am actually prescribed CBD by my doctor. I live here in Texas, and even my doctor is like, hey, you know, if this helps you out with your anxiety, absolutely, go out and take some. So I use CBD daily. These are the guys I've gone to. I've been to dispensaries all over the country, but True Hemp Science is by far the best product. Christopher Lynch over there is fantastic. Always working on new stuff. Uses whole plant extract, not just the leaf, not just stem, but root, stem, everything. Spigyrix, where they basically like extract from the plant, burn the remnants, extract from that, burn those remnants. Like amazing processes to get everything possible out of every plant possible. So stop on by. TrueHempScience.com is the website that you want to go to. Talking 20 is the code that you want to use, or I'm sorry, Talking 7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your order of $50 or more, as well as getting two edibles in a pack, either cookies or brownies, your choice. You get either one for free. So TrueHempScience.com is the website that you want to visit. Talking 7 is the code that you want to use. Speaking of codes and all of that good stuff, we also have a commercial here from our sponsor, Podcast Cadet.
Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code TALKING20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is podcastcadet.com.
That's right, folks. And while you're online checking all that out, please do make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound podcast, talkingsoundshow.com, as well as the sister site, talkingsoundpodcast.com. All kinds of content there. The whole reason that I started Podcast Cadet with my wife and friends of mine was I spent time as an on-air producer in local TV as well as broadcast radio and internet broadcast. And I saw people getting really, really, really bad advice. Whether it was from sound and production on that end to branding, marketing even, where it was like, man, it was kind of that concept of you wanted to start a band, so you listened to your buddy that was in like eight bands that failed, you know? And then it was like, why didn't my band work out? I don't understand. Probably because the advice you were getting was coming from people that, well, not that they didn't enjoy their time and have a whole load of fun, but they probably were not approaching things from the most professional point of view, things like that. So going at that from the jump, I think, is very important. That's one of the reasons why I helped start Podcast Cadet. Speaking of production, things like that, always press record, productions.com, APRTV, available on Amazon, available on Roku, available online. Travius Lawson, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Man, thank you for all those kind words that you were saying about me earlier. It's actually Always Press Record or Always Press Record Productions, whichever one you want to use.
Okay. I thought it was just alwayspressrecord.com. I didn't think I was crazy.
That's like we had it all, and originally that was where the first website was. But as you all know, if you're an entrepreneur who makes websites, you just start redesigning your website over and over again. So that's how Always Press Record Productions started, because that was the original name when we went for our DBA. We're actually now a corporation. We're Always Press Record Incorporated now.
Nice.
After just growth and figuring that we got to do more and more paperwork to protect everybody involved. So it's always a good thing to see the evolution of your name, of your product. And now we actually just go by APR or APRTV, depending on which room we're actually in and with the right people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I know my other podcast, Dudes and Beer, is carried on APR. I believe Talking Sound is as well, correct?
And you know what? It actually is. Dudes and Beer is actually on the live stream on Always Press Record as you speak. It's on there actually quite a bit because of the amount of episodes that have been on the channel since we formed that relationship a long time ago. But yeah.
And we actually met through production and through mutual podcast production.
And that's the funny thing, is that my first ever person who said yes when I was starting my company interviewed somebody who was working with HC Universal Network and the whole shebang over there. And I was like, man, we need to talk just because we're kind of doing the same thing. And I think I was calling you at the end of my day at work, and we had so much conversation between you and I that I think we went on for 45 minutes, if not, and just knew that we just had to talk again. And now we've talked so many times since then. You've come into Houston. I've appreciated it. You have art of mine. So like I'm really happy to be here.
I get compliments on that art all the time, actually. People are like, wow, that's really cool. Who did that? Amazing, amazing stuff. You are, as most producers, a multifaceted individual. And,
It's weird that you say that, and here's the reason why. My mom, she always cautioned me as I was like collecting all these little bits and bobbles mm-hmm. that I do to never be a jack of all trades and a master of none, right? But like sure. I'm literally thinking about getting the Suicide Jack tattooed on me from the card games, not only because I love poker, but also just because it's like that jack of all trades is the reason why I've become known as trade producer.
Yeah.
And it's just because like, man, I had to learn how to light, I had to learn how to film. Unlike most people, when they heard podcasts, they thought audio. And for me, I was like, podcasts, okay, TV, because that's the only thing that I know and love. And so we filmed everything, and I was a horrible director, but I just kept doing it into where I learned how to make something look good. And then I learned some tricks around the trade. I learned how to make it easier, if you will. I can tell you how I did, how I made it easier. And it was just by, you know, a lot of my podcast that first year, I made 352 in 365 days, 352 podcasts. That's my claim to fame within the company. Is the reason why is because like I was just determined to do it. So where I had a camera that was a Sony, I couldn't really afford it when I got it, but I got it. And my other partner in this game that we play over at APR, DeAndre, he said, well, let's just keep going. And I ended up using my cell phone as a backup, because what I didn't know at the time and what I figured out from using these cameras is that these cameras aren't meant for a 45-minute, hour-and-a-half podcast. You know, that's how we do it. Like, yeah. We sit down and we talk.
Oh, yeah.
And these cameras weren't meant for that. But, you know, you go on to YouTube, and that's where we all learn. Which I think is going to be a detriment here, because very few people are trying to deviate from the YouTube look and feel that is affecting us as filmmakers. And I do consider myself a filmmaker at this point. At this point, I do.
What do you mean by that? I just want to, before we move on, what do you mean by that YouTube look?
Okay. All right, so anybody who's watching this or listening to this, this is what you're going to do when you first say, I'm going to start a podcast or I'm going to start up a YouTube channel, right? You go over and look over at other people that you either subscribe to or what, right? And either you're going to go on to Amazon and start buying things if you're that affluent to be that person, sure. Or you're going to start with what you have around you and try to emulate that, right? Everybody's trying to use the rule of thirds, but why would you ever deviate from the rule of thirds when most of the time you're filming somebody literally talking to you in front of a stationary position of a microphone, right? Yeah. Nobody's really playing with the camera and trying to find new angles. When I was in journalism class, one of the things that still stick out in my mind 30 years later, it seems, even though I'm not that old just yet, is that we watched Citizen Kane, and Orson Welles, because he couldn't get the camera low enough, he took out an axe and started chopping into the floor so that he can get the camera into the floor so that he can get the angle right. Yeah. That has stuck with me for some reason. And it's just, it wasn't until I actually tried to film something that I understood. It's because you got to get that shot that's in your head, or it's going to just needle at you. And so people aren't trying to do that, because people are trying to get the most views. They're trying to make the most palatable content, the most palatable look, the most palatable lighting. Nobody's trying to experiment. Everybody's trying to be the same because everybody wants the views so that they can get monetized, so that they can get the numbers, right?
Yeah.
That's the game that many of the people who come to both of our companies, they come to us and sit down and ask, well, how do I get monetized? How do I get this, right?
Yep.
And
that's everybody's thing, you know, because it's just like we say in the AV industry all the time, yeah, in the world of live corporate AV. Hey, I'm only doing this till my album drops.
Well, I was once, you know, one of those people who were waiting for the album drop, so I understand wholeheartedly.
Yeah, because because once the album drops, it, like, dream starts, right?
That is. That's what we all say, right?
Once you hit publish on that file, be it YouTube or, you know, Libsyn, what have you, not sponsored by any of them, folks. You just sit there and pay. You wake up in the morning and there's, like, money in PayPal, right? That's how that works.
I wish it was that easy, but it's never really that easy. I mean, like,
but now you're crushing my dreams, Trey. And is that the job of a producer?
As the producer, it's my job to say that when I first pressed record, it was to be not just the next John Mayer or the next Dave Matthews or the next Counting Crows, because I was into indie music at the time, but like the next Bob Dylan, next singer-songwriter from Texas, if you will. And what I found out is that everybody's trying to monetize you in the music game. You got to make 10 times the money in order to really be whole. And who really... You can go platinum in Texas, but who's willing to work that hard? And so when people sit in front of me and they say, man, you, all right, somebody, all right, in this digital wave where you can get 1 million views or 1 million followers, getting 1 million sales to have a platinum record, I mean, nobody ever really thinks about how hard it is to make 1 million people do anything. Anything.
Sure.
Right. And so it's like, but that's what everybody wants, right? Everybody thinks that there's room for enough Madonnas. Well, like, Madonna can sell 1 million records, but like, how many more Madonnas are there? How many more Madonnas could the record industry hold? Right.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get the same people to buy 1 million, 1 million times. Yeah. That doesn't happen. Right. So, as the guy who has to make your dreams come true, I have to manage your dreams, and I have to tell you what you can do for the bandwidth that you have, right? A lot of people are juggling things that they don't realize they're juggling when they're trying to be great. If you look at all these biopics, right? Like, something's always going to suffer, right? But these people are family people. These are people who have day jobs, and we're trying to tell them that, all right, devote 1 to 3 hours or more per week will lead to your, not only your side income, but the replacement income. And so we have to be realistic, because it's like any podcast, it takes about episode 8 before you're comfortable.
Oh, minimum. Man, at a minimum.
I tell people all the time, because half of the thing, especially with my game, is that we film everything as we go.
Yeah.
And so people have to be comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah.
People got to realize that you look like that.
Yep. even in radio, it was the fact of, yeah, you sound like that.
You do. Man, so that was the hardest thing to realize. Okay. When I realized what my voice actually sounded like, it was one of the most embarrassing things ever, because I was the singer of a band. And so, like, you know, like, you hear yourself and you're like, you can't put any reverb on that or something. So it's like,
can you put one of those 2 things. Reverbs on there for me?
Oh, it's...
that's my vocals.
You know, that's the thing about like being a producer is crazy, is that you have to be able to recognize people's insecurities and not point them out to them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell somebody that your voice is odd or that, you know, like you should really turn here when you should turn there. But sometimes you have to, right? Sometimes you have to nudge them along, and it's a lot of coaching because, man, not everybody really wants to be a performer, but a lot of people ask us to give them a place to perform, especially with my business, because we have a studio that we utilize a lot of the times. And so, like, I provide a stage for people. We're actually about to branch out into live music. Thankfully, that things are opening up, so to speak.
Great.
And we're going to be doing showcases in the Houston area. And that's bringing me back to my musical roots as we provide that content. Because that's the thing, man. When I started Always Press Record, we were about the podcast. And it was about making the best conversation possible, right? And then it evolved into where I had a roster of shows. At the time, it was 12, and I thought that that was a lot. And
How many now?
Right now, we're at 25 active shows.
Nice.
On the roster. Within the vault, we have over 1,000 hours.
Kinds of genres as well.
Well, it was interesting because we started out with the sit down, which is hosted by the founding member, DeAndre. And he was the first person to come to me and ask for a show after we all tried to do a show. Right. Because in the black culture, it's all about Joe Budden podcasts. That was the first person that we saw make $1 million off of podcasting. So it made all the black people go, huh, what is this podcasting? Let's do this. If truth be told, if you ask me, the reason why I know about podcasting is because of Kevin Smith and Smod Castle and Smod Casting and all that stuff. So because I had known about Smod Castle over in New Jersey, I just naturally, I don't know. I think that was like the first seed of making what Always Press Record is, which is like the place that everybody comes by and does their thing. You know what I mean? And so when people came by and was like, can we do the Joe Budden thing? I was like, yeah, I'll be a guy on that show and sit down with y'all. And then we did 27 shows before we finally just fizzled out, right? Because here's the thing about doing podcasts. You're signing up to do at least one show per week for the rest of eternity.
Could be.
Now, I did radio in college, right? I had a small show called James and the Giant Peach Show that was on from midnight to it was on from 10 to 2 a.m. And we had fun with it, but I understood what a weekly show was, which was like you just do this to eternity, and it's either you love it and enjoy it and embrace talking into the microphone, or you don't, right? So everybody else, it was like bringing that initial training to them, right? That's how I became traded producers, because people weren't talking into mics. People weren't. People, like, I had a ribbon mic, as you know, I had the Elvis Shure 55 with the Elvis mic, you know?
Yeah.
And people were like moving all around. And I'm like, you got to talk into that ribbon or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, if you're not going straight into that thing, you're going to have issues.
Oh, man. I became the de facto producer because I was the person with the little 4-channel board, right? And I had that pair of microphones that we could use. And so I kind of split them in between each other, you know, and tried to make it happen. And that's another thing. The amount of gear that you will collect going from like novice to professional is amazing. It is amazing. The price point changes crazy as you keep going up into levels of legitimacy. That's what I call it. Levels of legitimacy.
Well, it's like, definitely the fact of once you hit certain points, be it career, what have you. I mean, even myself.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm looking to buy a piece of gear, my wife always looks at it like, oh, my God, like you're going to spend $600 on that. And old me would have been like, dude, you do not need to spend $600 on that. New me, professional me, guy who is typically buying toys for myself to use in the field to make my job easier, smoother, better, whether it's producing content on site for clients or making my job doing this on the road easier. I will not hesitate to do that because I know the value of the actual time that I'm saving and not having to go back and have 18 points of connection where there might be a problem. You know,
well,
things like that.
I think people don't realize. And like when I say points of legitimacy, it's like this, right? So that four channel board, I eventually had to go up to 8.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I eventually had to go up to 12 and so on.
Oh, you'll find ways to use it real quick if you're a creative individual.
That's what I found out. That's what I found out. Like even from and a lot of it is, you know, having the experience, you realize why you need those 8 channels and why you need those faders when.
Yeah.
You know, and why you need certain preamps and things like that to power the mics that you have invested in. And yeah, you collect, but you collect with experience why you need it. And so you use it better. You take care of it, right?
Exactly.
And especially where we help people with our business through events and whatnot, like it's an investment into better business.
Well, yeah, and I mean it's no different than a craftsman or a mechanic buying a specific tool, you know, or a woodworker buying a specific jig to be able to cut a type of cut to make crown molding or what have you for projects, you know.
Yeah, no, it sounds silly when I tell people that like I got a deflector. And it's, all it does is just shine light in a direction.
All it does is bounce the light.
Isn't
doesn't
that
even
weird?
Shine it.
It doesn't even shine it. No, no. I literally have invested in just light.
But you have because, to. You have to.
Well, it was funny because, you know, like another thing with just having a studio is that like the studio has changed many times. It started with just a room in my house. And then it went to the garage in the room in my house, right? And that was when I had, quote unquote, 2 studios. And then, like, I fashioned a room in my new house specifically for us to film in with, like, an 18-foot green screen and all that different stuff, right? And it was because I knew exactly what I wanted and why I wanted it. And like one of the things that I asked for when we were putting in the custom lighting was I wanted to be able to control the sunlight. And so we have dimmers and LEDs and everything just to make sure that it's always white light and I'm always playing. Because what I have learned in doing this is that you only get one shot. It's only once. Whether it's one take and you have this actor say the same lines over and over again or say the same ad over and over again, people really don't do anything twice, right? Especially in podcasting. And so that's why Always Press Record is not even just our name, it's our philosophy. Because we'll do a lot of it in post, which means that I have to control the variables of our productions, like lighting and directions and cameras and equipment, so that whatever we got in the tank is usable. Cause that's how it used to be in the early days. It was like, there was no other way to get everybody back over to the house. You know what I mean? Even the first production that I was talking about earlier, that we actually met each other on Pressing Issues with Randall. He actually was the first person who said yes when I said, hey, can I take your YouTube channel to the next level? And he's now evolved into Shop 31, which is horror based and interesting, but you know, yep. That's kind of been his journey. He's hit the 10,000 views. He's doing reaction videos now, which is something totally different from the show that we started out with, which was doing a weekly here's the new comics on.
That's 270 degrees from what he was doing previously.
Well,
and that's okay. That's the thing is, if it's working for him, if it's on brand for him, great. You know,
that's one of the lessons I had to learn about. That's the lessons that turned me from Travius Lawson to Trader Producer, was that I had to realize that the star needs to be the star.
Yeah.
And if the star needs to change, you got to let that star change. Right. Because his whole goal was never to make TV like I wanted, and with the three cameras set up and, you know, sure. And like polished intros, yeah. Outros. He wanted something that was going to make his channel monetized. Mm-hmm. He wanted to generate money from YouTube, right? So yeah. he wanted to do what everybody else was doing and whatever was going to get him views. And so once he had his viral video of reviewing Parasite, that Korean horror flick,
yep.
Which wasn't a horror flick in any way, shape, or form, but it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, nor what was the other big one that was? Midsommar.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like, how
yeah.
How is this a horror flick?
No, this is not a horror flick, but you know, that's. You know, you and I talk about how I think the whole filmmaking is changing anyway. But it's like he did that and it hit. He got that 10,000 views. And what I always tell everybody is that what do you do after you do the first 10,000 views? You got to make another video.
Yep.
So he did. Like, to his credit, he is the hardest creator that I have ever come up with.
That's great.
It, making videos. Like, yeah. He's the person who outrivals me, like, on just how many he's churning out. And I'm just like, wow.
I had a guy that just onboarded to the network, finished, like, maybe episode 10 of his show, you know, but going forward, loving it. Older guy.
Like, yeah.
Late 50s. Older guy. The show is, it's a rap with rap. Ron Rappaport is the host. Great guy. Inspirational stories of people who've turned their lives around, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he calls me up and he's like, Chris, I'm kind of thinking about selling ads to people in the middle of my show. Like, yes. How can we work that out with, like, mid-roll ads? I'm like, oh, my God, I love you.
Yeah.
I'm like, good for you. He's like, are you serious? I thought this would be a problem. No.
No.
No. Like I said, no. Like whenever you joined, if we hook you up with a sponsor, we get a percentage. Aside from that, if you find something or sell ad space on your show or your website, go make that money, man. Go do it. And we will help facilitate you doing it.
That's part of it, right? That's yeah. part of coming.
But it was one of those, like, here was this dude that just started out and was already taking this broadcast mentality of, why wouldn't I be, like, I'm interviewing people with books. Why wouldn't I be trying to sell them an ad space on my show for their book that's coming out?
I don't think people really realize what it takes to merchandise a program. And yeah. Like, part of it frustrates me on a day-to-day basis, just to be transparent, as I always like to be. But the other part is that I think that because of maybe my age or my exposure, I think of it differently. And what I see is that the marketing angle hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since the invention of the radio. And so why are we trying to do anything differently? But the problem is that people, especially with podcasting, because it's technically in its infancy, is that people don't look at it as what it is. And it's an automatic platform, and it's an automatic way for you to be the authority.
Yes.
On whatever you are an authority on.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're going to have to talk about it. And if you're not an authority in the beginning, I guarantee you after your 10,000 hours, like anything else, you will be a master on that. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Right now we have Joe Rogan. He's in the thousands right now. And he might not be an authority on all the things he talks about, but he's an authority on interviewing people because he's interviewed a lot of different people.
Yep.
And so is when it comes to how do you make money? Well, how do you really want to make money? Do you want to make money talking into a microphone, or do you want to make money being yourself? Right?
Yeah.
What I tell people is that it's better to be yourself because yourself allows you room to change. If you start off with a podcast and it's raunchy, the only way to go is raunchier to keep up the raunchy. Right. Yeah. Because that's your bedrock on whatever your podcast is. Right. If your podcast is science based, well, then you must love science because you're going to be researching in your off hours because it's a job. Nobody's going to give you anything for free. Nobody's going to give you their dollar. The reason why they're going to give you your dollar in the end is because they enjoy you or you offer value. Right. Yeah. To sell that T-shirt is to wear your brand, to be that walking billboard, is because they enjoy your work. They enjoy your movement. They enjoy the culture that you're creating.
Yeah.
I try to create cultures, man. I've lately started saying I'm trying to curate content.
Yep.
And the thing is that for a while there, always press record it, for me, when I really hated the roster, but like, you know, everybody on board had gone through the ups and downs of me trying to figure it out. It was for a while, there was like, if you were a minority and you were talking about mental health and mental health awareness, then you were on my platform. Yeah. And so I was like, even though I love the topic and think that it's an important topic, I want to talk about comics. I want to talk about animation. I want to have things that my kid might want to watch because my kid actually started APR Kids. You know, like everybody else, he saw Ryan's Toys review and I, you know, you live in my house. I'm like, why are we worshiping Ryan when we should be the ones that everybody wants to be like?
Yeah, we should be the ones people are sending free toys to, man.
You know what I mean? Like,
why am I buying his crap?
Well, like I did, I bought one of those eggs, man. And like what I realized, because my entrepreneurial mind is that she went over to Japan or China, went over to the flea markets and then just got a whole bunch of dollar toys. Right. And put it into one container, which is this magical dinosaur mystery egg. Right. And packaged it. And then sold it. And now she's, you know, like, because his mom, like, I, you know, there's a whole YouTube about it. Like, she, once she got that first viral video, she knew that she didn't know how to do this. So she hired a producer and somebody to edit their stuff. Right? That's what she did. That's what Ryan's mom did. She was like, she was just started going, well, I need an editor and I need somebody to come up with ideas. And
yeah.
Now they're Ryan's Toys Review with like their own little network and they're on Sling TV and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Well, I was, you know, like I see the dots like everybody else. And so like I'm over there like, no, son, like we need to figure out our own thing. And so that's how APR Kids started. And now we have Mr. Pete's Playhouse, which is despite its name, I really, it's one of those things as a producer, you can't really change. You can't change certain things. But Mr. Pete's Playhouse is actually for preschoolers, and it's a sing along like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood type of thing.
Yep.
And the holiday special is
great.
It's gained steam, and I didn't realize like how we had stumbled onto something until my daughter had played the app, because now they have an app on Amazon and Roku as well, and she started binging it and singing along with it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. But it's done by two Caribbean, they're from the Virgin Islands, and they're actually preschool teachers, and it's a producer and a star who came over to me through DeAndre, actually, because that's what DeAndre does for APR. He brings in new talent, and like when I first watched it, you know, like I'm 40 years old, man, I'm way out of touch. But you know, when my little five, well now she's 6 years old, when she saw it, she saw gold. And so, you know, her and her brother, they make the APR kids decisions. And so now they're on the network as well. It's a very interesting thing of having to balance this day job, side job, and home life amongst it all. Because, you know, 90% of the time people are coming over to film podcasts. That was one of the things about COVID when it hit, the studio closed.
Yeah.
And the business changed.
I think that's something very, very, very important to point out before we take that divergence, is that you still have a day job, Trevius.
Oh, man. I have a day job.
And that's knock all right. Like, hey, I have a day job. Like, I own an AV business, things like that. I have gigs. I'm always on the hustle, you know. But
it's one, yeah, like it's one of those things that people don't understand.
Yeah,
because,
but I do not
like,
make my living off podcasting or from podcasting or from podcast listens, downloads, plays, monetized content. Someday, perhaps. The thing is, I love my content. I love my shows, and I have my shows because I have missions in my life.
I think now I like the amount of shows we've made and developed and archived. But as I was going through it, I was just pushing so hard for a goal of other people's. If that make any sense. That's so, it's always press record, right? And then there's everybody on the roster. And a lot of the times I'm pushing their brand and my brand, but more so their brand more. Sure. Right. That's one of the things as a producer. That's the reason why now, as we started going into this incorporation model, I'm starting to bring over people and bringing in people to where the board of directors or board of workers and departments are starting to formulate, because certain things need to happen in order for one of my roster, active roster feature creators, as I like to call them, for them to do well, right? Mm. I want them to get a monetary return on the time that they devote to this.
Sure.
Even though this is their dream, I know why this is their dream, and this is their dream so that they don't have to do their day job every single day, right?
Yeah.
For me, always press record at the moment when somebody came to me and said, hey, do you want to be on this Joe Budden knockoff show? Right?
Yeah.
It was a way for me to have a distraction from a job I hated. Right. And
same reason why most folks have a band.
Oh, definitely. And that's why I was probably in the band, because I was serving coffee over at Starbucks and I hated it. And so it's like, Man, no shout out to Starbucks. Let me just put that on there.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
And so for them, I understand when people are coming to me, right? And so, like, for me, it allows me to be more lenient and to try my best when they're involved, right?
Sure, sure. And, you know, a lot of it, especially for a producer, is, like we were saying a while ago, that encouragement, being that pushing force, that driving force, that coach that's always like, hey, man, we are so close to things right now.
Man, I like a coach, though, man. Nobody asks to be a producer, bro. Nobody has ever said, you know what I'm going to do when I grow up?
I'm going to be a producer.
I'm going to be a producer.
You know, and it really is. It's an interesting hat to wear, because it does come from having multifacets. It does come from being able to look at things in a multifaceted aspect and being able to go, you know, this is something that we need. I know somebody that we can connect with that.
You want to know why I want to be why I chose producer as my trade, the producer thing?
What's
when
that?
People were coming up with things, it's because I saw this movie called Wag the Dog.
Yep.
And in that movie was like the first time that a producer was ever really explained. And in that movie, he was like, we just get things done. Whatever the problem is, we just get it done. We don't ask about it. We don't ask why it happened. We just get it done. What needs to be fixed to get the job done so that we can have the show go on? Because the show always goes on, bro. It does. You got to get somebody back into that seat. You got to get that next guest on the next episode. You got to make it fun for people to come on by. And to really be honest with you, if you're doing a podcast right, the most fun is before and after the show, never during. During is when everybody should be focused, should be on, should be over here on their P's and Q's so that we can have the best product out there, because that's the reason why we're doing it.
Yeah.
You only get one shot at these people, and they're not listening they're listening for other things. They're listening so that they can get through that train ride, so that they can get through that work day.
Yeah.
So that they can get through, you know, waiting for your kid to get done with gymnastics.
Sometimes just so they can identify with somebody of the same thought form.
You know, literally. That's one of my favorite things, is that I found so many people that if I knew that I wasn't so alone, then I think I might have been more powerful in my youth. Because a lot of the times I thought that I was like an anomaly a lot of the times, and I'm not. There's a lot of people who they don't see, like, I wouldn't say everybody's the same or, like, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of new friends and brothers and sisters that I have acquired just because of our voices, right?
Well, and I mean, hey, some of my best friends that I talk to regularly are guests that I've had on my shows.
Have something to talk about.
we're always talking like 30 minutes before the show, and then after the show, sometimes like longer than the show. And that's how I know it's like we've just hit that point of syncopation. You know, that as it would be in music, that great point of just free form, you know, where two people are inside each other's heads.
Well, it's interesting, as I have developed as an artist all the way around, is that with being more comfortable with your surroundings and with yourself and with who's around you and the energies around you, you allow yourself to complete more work, to complete more art, to accept that this is completed, this is done. You know, a lot of what I make is trying to have the best environment around, right? Because we don't do a take two, right? As we branch out into different art forms in the photography and video realm, there will be more takes, I'm sure. But like, you know, in our current stage, we still do everything in one take most times.
Well, and you know, even earlier, whenever you were referring to that YouTube look, man, that's one of the things that drives me nuts whenever I watch an instructional or whenever I watch even a review where it's like, wow, you could not say three sentences in a row without doing numerous takes. Everything is a jump cut, going crazy, like blip, 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 blip.
Yeah,
and the way that I know that a lot of people edit audio for podcast, it's one of those, like, are you sure you want to incorporate video?
Looking back on it, no. I would not have, but I did out the gate. And that's because we only had the main audio.
There's a certain clientele that's all about the video and stuff like that. And if you've got good, engaging content,
it's hilarious how you were saying about the jump cut, because that's one of my issues.
Ooh,
man,
do it.
It's funny because I cut so little that my go to transition is the dissolve. And so, like, I purposely have made that my, like, you know, when I did it, because there's like seven dissolves all throughout, you know what I mean? Like, if there's something else, then you know I didn't do that.
Hey, man, and I come from the world of broadcast, and you know what? That's what B-roll's for.
Exactly.
That's when you throw a nice shot of the hands, playing with the product, do whatever.
If anybody knows, see, the reason why we always press record is because that's how I would get the B-roll, is that I would zoom in the different parts and things like that. Just because sometimes you have to get a person off camera, like they're picking their nose while they're talking. They don't think about that, but you're on camera. It's things like that where, looking back, I made it harder on myself by saying, well, our first camera here was a webcam, is how we did the first show.
Wow.
And so that's how we got the audio. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, when I say always press record, I mean at all times, under every circumstance, get it on film.
And do whatever you got to do. Like, whenever I've interviewed professional audio engineers on here, they've always laughed because the tagline for this show is where negative 10 was a number to be desired. And negative 10 is, of course, for, like, home audio equipment. You know, but it's one of those, like, hey, I have a stereo reverb right down here in my rig that I rack mounted, that is an old stereo reverb, literally, like RCA jacks on the back. But buddy, it is so rich, so lush, and so great on keyboards and other things. That's literally a piece of home audio equipment from like 1977. But hey, if that is what helps you attain the sound and the end goal that you're trying to get, use it. Do it.
Well,
don't hesitate doing that.
You know, like, we're looking on it as seasoned professionals and seasoned vets, man.
I mean, hey, that reverb was literally in my studio 20 years ago.
That was
one of my go-to reverbs that I had, because, hey, I found it at a pawn shop for like $40, you know. They got a heck of a deal because they got rid of a piece of gear they probably had sitting in the back for like 20 years and could not dump, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
But
it's amazing the amount of gear that you'll get, man.
But, like, oh, yeah, yeah. But it's the fact of, don't be afraid to use it. You know, and that before we let you go here in just a few minutes, that's what I wanted to spend the last few minutes talking about was for those producers to be, those content creators to be out there that are looking to work with somebody like you in the future, that are looking to possibly work the way that you do in the future, even doing some of the stuff I do. What would be the three go-to tips that you would tell them as, let's just say, as a video creator?
As a video creator, there's the three things that we always say when you first come on or when we first bring on somebody. And it's audio is more important than video. Yep. Because people won't listen to bad audio, but they will watch bad video.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so it's always about the audio. So like if you got to spend your time to get your microphones in the proper place to where somebody's not going to move them, because that's a horrible sound to try to get rid of, especially as somebody's talking and you're trying to get rid of that. that's a really bad sound. The people breathe, right? So yeah. When I say good audio, it's not getting rid of every single breath sound as people are doing on YouTube right now.
Oh,
because people breathe, man.
People breathe. People, hey, you know what? Once again, live broadcast world is what I came from, especially radio. And you know what? Mm-hmm. People say, people stammer. That's okay. That is a normal course of conversation. Would you get aggravated with somebody if you were sitting there at Denny's having a friggin' omelet and they were just brain working so fast you just can't catch up with it?
A side pro tip is
silly them for being human.
Well, the ums come because they're trying to think as they're saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're having a good conversation, then yes, those ums do appear. Right.
Yeah.
But you're not so much thinking, you're sharing. Right. Like you should be sharing on a podcast is how I feel, rather than trying to think of what you're saying. Just because nobody has time for that. That's what pre-production's for. the second thing that I will say is that when it comes to video, lighting is everything. So learn how to light a set, and 9 times out of 10, you need less light than you really think you do. And so once that makes sense, then you know what I mean. And so you can move on from the lighting thing. And the third thing is always press record, because you need B roll, you need C roll. Sometimes you need a plan. And what I'm seeing right now and what I'm really having trouble with, just because I am hiring creatives to come and be a part of this movement, I am bringing in limited properties just because we have maxed out bandwidths on our platform on the Amazon side. So like it's now a precious real estate for all my creators. So I want to give everybody equal opportunity. So like when I say limited, it's not limited, but you know, we are choosy. The last thing is that people are making promo videos, right? And music videos. That's where people are cutting their chops right now.
Sure.
Thanks to YouTube, right? This is how I'm saying that YouTube's changing everything, because it changed it for me. It started me from just being a guy with a single podcast to having a network, right? Yeah. All with YouTube. I actually say that YouTube should be used for copyright purposes many, many times. I suggest that. But once I looked one day and saw that YouTube paid $50 million because their algorithm was skewed away from the black and brown creator, well, my network is 40% black on TV and behind the scenes, I would say 80% black. So that was not, that means that they were literally skewing away from me. And so that's where I wanted to replace them. yeah. for all intents and purposes. And so for us, it's about making something that's worth it to get away from, right? And now everybody is, they're trying to make the promo video. Nobody is trying to make a series. Nobody's trying to do the web series anymore. And if they do, they're trying to make it for the YouTube audience. And I'm saying no. I'm saying I want to see the next director. I want to give him a spot or her a spot, as the case might be. Because I think that women are underrepresented in the filmmaking world. So, like, please come. I'm also looking over at Nollywood, which is Nigerian based, because I think that they are going to rival Bollywood pretty soon. And I think that that's a market that we should tap.
Amazing creators. Amazing creators.
Here's the thing that I'm seeing, man. Like, there are people who are making things that nobody's looking at right now, but one day they're going to realize what's different. I watched a show that's basically based out of Canada called Letterkenny. And I think it's hilarious. My friends think it's hilarious, yep. But everybody, including people I know in Canada, they don't really know it yet. And it's still like a good band where it's a best kept secret. And so, like, I'm looking for the best kept secrets out there. And I'm saying, hey, I have a global audience of thousands of members, because every person who downloads is now a member. We have members over in Germany, India, Italy, as far as you can go. And like, we do have new people in Brazil. And so it's very, very funny to see the analytics and see what they watch from us. Yeah. And see what they're ingesting and how long they're watching. And it's a brave new world, but nobody's really figured out how to be a cowboy yet, man. So
it's a tough nut to crack out there, man. And like you said, there are tons of people out there doing the same thing. There are tons of content, and even over COVID, it became the fact that, like, I remember when COVID hit, like, you could not find a video camera. You could not find podcasting or streaming equipment. Everybody started doing it.
You know, for as crazy a time as that COVID time was, especially in the early days, I will say that I am proud of my company for how everybody kind of handled it. Like, that whole, like, still to this day, this whole period of time has been, like, rough. We've lost some people, yada, yada. Yeah. Like, so many different people, right? Like, that's the storyline. But what I want to focus on and highlight is how, you know, my people were already ready to transition to Zoom. And to a distance model, to where really and truly what happened is that it took us from just doing podcasts and me literally filming everything to us acquiring people and becoming a network, because everybody had to go on the Zoom. So what did we do? We started to brand it differently. We started to make it look better than what other people were doing with their Zooms. And so, whereas most people stall, right? There's a lot of people who have video cameras and microphones. They've been in the house. They've been unable to do it. But over at the company, we've been able to keep going and expand. And despite all the challenges, the way that we handled this distance production has been amazing.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood stopped. And I knew, just as a content creator and as a person who wants to conquer TV in many ways, I understood that with nobody filming, that people were going to run out of TV. And as people have been running out of TV, other people have been coming to APR TV, and I appreciate them to come into Always Fresh Record, because they've taken a moment and seen what we've created as TV. And, you know, Dudes and Beer for all the different topics that you might find, they get plenty of views, and there's a large audience who enjoys it, along with myself, because I ingest all of the content on the apps.
Yeah.
You know, as that person who is quality controlled as well as many things. And well, that's the thing. You gotta be able to wear many hats if you're going to play this YouTube game, people.
if you're going to play the podcast YouTube game, production game, live streaming game, you really do need to be ready to wear a lot of hats, and you do need to be ready to at least have a technical grasp of things, and where they're going and what's happening and technology necessary to make it happen. So thank you so much for taking the time and coming on and talking about all this, Trey.
No, if I could just leave with one more thing to the producers, because, I've said it a few times. Nobody grows up to want to be a producer. But for those who find themselves in the position, because it's a position of leadership that should be embraced once you're there.
Yeah.
It's not always about you. It'll probably never be about you. But you got to be able to make sure that the show goes on. And that's going to be the hard job. And that's going to be what you're known for. Because, you know, from the music side, being the producer means getting the right sounds, getting the best from the artist, right? Getting that best performance by the artist. Being a filmmaker is getting the best performance, right? And a director, producer in the filmmaking world is very, very similar, especially once you see where it is on set, what a director does, which is manage everybody, because you manage a director of photography, a director of this, director of that. It's very much a production side that they don't tell you about, but it's a different title, different guild, the higher you get up. But being a producer is just making sure that it still goes on. And especially when the talent, right, which might even be yourself at times, doesn't want to go on. And so, you know, it's okay to take that moment, take that deep breath, and decide, all right, the show must go on, and figure out a way to do it. And it happens to all of us. We've all been there. But
yeah,
the art that comes at the end is always, always worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Trey, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to have you on again and again and again and again, talking about things like this, talking about production.
I would love to.
And before we let you go, of course, shameless self-promotion time. Let everybody know where they can go to download everything, where they can go to watch online, where they can go to get apps for their mobile devices, Roku devices, Amazon devices, all that good stuff, bud.
All right. All things APR, alwayspressrecord.com. It's the one thing that never, ever changed in this giant conglomerate that has become APR. Always Press Record is where you will find us, where you can always visit us and see what we got going on. We have a few things coming down the pipeline that people should be excited about, some original programming that we have been talking about and considering, and we'll be announcing soon. We have new members coming over to the staff. We have a mobile app that will be coming out. We have to redesign the whole entire thing. So for everybody who have already had it and enjoyed it, thank you. We are about to push it out both to Apple as well as Android users. We're not playing the game of piloting from one platform to the other. We're just going to give everybody what they need. As far as our smart TV apps, go over to Always Fresh Record. You can click on either one of the pictures and it will take you there to download. Join the thousands of members as they enjoy TV brought to you in a better, different way. And Always Fresh Record, y'all.
Fantastic. Man, thank you so much, Trebius, for coming on, for sharing everything.
I got to stop you because my mom's going to listen to this. My mom calls me Travius.
Sorry, Travius.
It's funny. You want to know a quick thing about me? Actually took me 7 days to get that name because my name was originally supposed to be Alvin after my dad. But she said, you don't look like an Alvin. You look like a Travius.
Okay.
So as he went over to go back in the old days, you know, the dad didn't have to be there. But as he went down to go get the car and pull it around, they said, well, you have to put something on the birth certificate. And so as I came on down and got put into the car, he found out my name was Travius.
All right. There you go. And Mom, I'm sorry.
She doesn't care.
I mean, moms think long and hard about these things, even if they just come to them. It's not an easy process naming a baby. So,
apparently.
Travius, thank you so much. Always. I love our conversations every time we get to talk. So,
for everybody who's outside of this, he knows me for over a year now. And everybody just calls me Trey.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
This is probably the first time he's ever said my name.
So, anyway, my man, we will talk to you soon. Please do hold the line while we close things out here. While you're online checking out all the great stuff from Always Press Record, make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Podcast, TalkingSoundPodcast.com, TalkingSoundShow.com as well for all of the episodes. That's where you can find everything. So until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember,
thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. For more episodes, industry news, and information, visit us online at TalkingSoundPodcast.com. Subscribe to the Talking Sound Podcast on Amazon Audible, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Get the latest Talking Sound videos on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Reach TV, or your Roku or Amazon Fire device with the APR TV app. Talking Sound is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great shows and content, subscribe to HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Until next time, watch those meters, gig safely, and keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.